That's wonderful that Brother Denny's got such a great thing going. A fellow at 55 years old can outwash all those guys. God must have something in him. Reminds me of that man at 70 years old that outswam all those young swimmers. A lot of things that I'd like to talk about this morning. And I guess my whole life and heart is to do something for the Lord. One thing that we should be real enthused about, and that is the word of the Lord. You know, you don't really get in trouble until you pervert the word of the Lord. There's something great and mighty concerning the word of the Lord. We talk about many things, and of course, there is not anything that I know of but what it has to do with the word of the Lord, whether it be good or evil. The word of the Lord has suffered it or brought it into existence to the extent as to God's own desire. God's word, when you go back and search out the origin of people, the first thing you find is that the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And then the Bible speaks of the Word as to say that by His Word He created heaven and earth and all the things therein. And that by His Word He sent and healed the people. You've got to remember that when people were sick and having problems, God made Himself a human body. The Word, God, the Great Spirit, made Himself a human form and came forth in human flesh, and the Word was made flesh, and healed the people. So He sent His Word and healed them. And it's by His Word that He upholds all things and that He created all things. And Jesus is that Word. In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And we speak of before the beginning. A lot of times we do that to try to make you to understand what is meant by the beginning. The word Genesis, beginning. In the beginning, Genesis, or Genesis beginning. And as I say, there would have been no book of the beginning as to Genesis had it not been a Moses, or God made us a Moses, that He took into the Spirit and let Him write this book as to Genesis. There was no history of it. Scientists, school, college, all the great learnings of today have no way to go back like the children of God into the beginning, because they have no record. I say to you so often that they date back as far as the hieroglyphics of Egypt, and that's it. And they can't get any farther. But beyond that, there is a book called Genesis, the beginning that God suffered Moses to write. And when God speaks of it, He speaks of it as seeing the hind part of God. Well, that is to say, if we define the thing, we look from Calvary back to the beginning, and that's the hind part of God. That brings in the law, that brings in the cleft of the rock. And the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? So then, Moses being put in the cleft of the rock, he was able to see these things as God passed by. That is to say, being in the cleft of the rock, or hiding in the shadow of the rock of the Almighty God, his understanding was enlightened, and in doing that, he had the Word to pass before him as to the hind part of the Word. That is to say, the beginning of the Word, and not as to the latter part of the Word, as to the unveiling of today. After Calvary, it is the unveiled Word. Before Calvary, it is the veil Word. And Paul speaks of it after that fashion. When he speaks of the Old Testament, he said, and the veil is over the minds of the people. And when you say the minds of the people, you're saying the eyes of the people as to the eyes of their understanding. So then over the mind of the people, there was the veil, which veil is done away with in Christ, Or the Bible said, which veil is done away with, we would say at Calvary. For the Bible said that the veil was rent in twain. And I bring it to your remembrance a lot of times as to the veil over the face of Rebecca. The veil was that which hid the beauty of the face of the bride. And so then, when Rebecca met Isaac, the veil was over the face. And the veil could not be removed until they entered into the secret chambers of the mother's place of abode, the mother's chambers. And there the veil could be removed, because it was when the veil was removed that they no longer saw through the glass darkly, but they saw face to face. And the Bible said, beholding as it was his glory, or in the face his glory, as that as we would see in a mirror. And it changes us into the wonderful glory of God. The glory of Christ is so wonderful that when that glory comes forth and that glory strikes us, then it changes us into the wonderful, wonderful likeness of Almighty God. So then, as to a veil, as to the human veil, which veil was rent at Calvary to take away the veil, that is to say your flesh, or that is to say his flesh, making a way, as the veil being rent in twain, this glory hath penetrated to the soul, or to the eye of understanding, or going to the inner man, that the inner man might, by faith in God, see this wonderful glory. And Enoch, in seeing this, was translated that he should not see death. The glory is so wonderful that it does away with the shadow of death. The shadow of death exists from the beginning, from the time that Eve sinned. And the Bible said, even though men had not sinned after the similitude of Adam, yet it's from Adam all the way to Jesus that sin and death reigns, because death by sin. And Eve sinned, and being a part of Adam, it put him in the transgression. Though he was not found in the transgression as to the originality, yet he was in the transgression to the extent that that was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And being typical of you and I, in that God hath not sinned, but yet he came down and made himself a human body in the form of sin, because we, being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, brought him to the place to where he had to come to redeem us, because we're his body. And so beautifully we look upon this wonderful thing as the beginning, and then we look beyond the beginning to see God, the great light, before there was ever a beginning. We say in the beginning, or that is in the beginning of the world, the creation of the world, or in the beginning of the creation of mankind. So then, beyond the beginning, before God ever begun his work, we see God, the great light. The great light, when we say light, I remind you again that light means understanding. The great state of understanding, that's all supremacy as to the omnipresent present God and the great wonderful God of all knowledge. So then we see what a beautiful thing it is. And I said that to bring our thoughts again to the word of the Lord. If you don't have the word of the Lord, you don't have life. For the word of the Lord is life. My words are spirit and they are life. And if you don't have the word of the Lord, you don't have life. And this is why the devil tries to pervert the word of God, and why he works so hard to keep the minds fuddled up with the things of the world, as through the enticement of the things of the world, to keep you from having this wonderful, abundant life, this filled up and overflowing life. I want to comment just a little bit on that this morning. I guess you probably can tell I'm tired a little bit, but I wanted to talk to you just a bit from the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, and about the 15th verse. Also, I'd like to mention to Sister Frances and them that there's a brother coming up out of Belize, and he'll probably be up with a bus to pick a bus up. And we were down in Belize not too long ago. Brother Raymond, Sister Wawana, and some of the others was down there with us, and we were there trying to do something for God. And the place we had was an out-of-the-way place, and things wasn't just in shape for us to really do much there for God. But we did get a few things done, and we touched their lives somewhat. And now there is an opportunity to send a big load of clothing down into the areas of Belize to those people. Joseph was telling me that he and Brother Tony had done an excellent job in distributing the clothing. We have some pictures from it. They got to the big dump over there where there's so many people that's hungry and in desperation. And they were able to give these clothes out. They did not commit them to the hands of a missionary, but they did it themselves. And the numbers of places that they got to where people were so grateful to be able to get a hold of this clothing. For which I am very thankful. For the Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that we should visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And then keep ourselves unspotted from the world, in that the Bible said, come out from among them, be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So they did a real good job, and that made me happy, because I feel real comfortable if we are doing something around the nation. In the islands, we had the report that numbers of them are in that island and other islands, listening to our radio broadcast from Atlantic Beacon with a regularity. And we're also getting calls from Joseph out of Africa, contacts with him, and contacts with Brother Chris out of the Philippines and other places. We're getting letters and whatever, and they are doing something for God, and our ministry is increasing in leaps and bounds in different places around the world. After so long a time, we finally got our translation into the Japanese language, and it's already printed up, isn't it, Chuck? Oh, ready to be printed up. Okay, it's ready to be printed up. Is that right, Brother Stevie? Just the cover. It's already printed. I thought it was already printed, and also the Italian language, which we had a hard time getting. Brother out of Rome, Italy, was it, that got that for us? Through the efforts of Brother Don Klonick, and Christ is the Answer. They distribute a lot of our literature around the different parts of the world. And of course, he did this for us, and we have a real nice translation. Did an excellent job. And this made me happy, because we've been trying to get that translation for a long time. He also invited us to come into Rome and minister there under the big tent that they have sitting in Rome, and perhaps we'll go. Pray for us that everything will work out, whatever we're doing. We may not be able to do what we would like to do or as much as other people do, but we would like to do what little we can do. And this, of course, is what we're wanting to do, is do our part. Because when I stand before God, God is going to hold me accountable for you people and what I've ministered to you. And that's one reason I'd like to talk to you again about this particular subject. I've talked to you about it a number of times. If you got your Bibles, you can read with me. Maybe we won't hold you long this morning. Supposed to go visit with a lawyer over in the evening. I may not hold you very long. But let's talk about this just for a few minutes. It said, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off of the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. You know, it's just been in the last few weeks that someone went to another minister over in the areas of Indiana and said they were going to curse Brother Pike. And they went away to go over into Lexington, I guess it was Kentucky. And on the way back, they had a heart attack, and they had to put them in the Lexington Hospital. And as a result of this and some other things, I remind you again that we received a letter from Brother Billy Paul, which was a very wonderful letter in praise to our ministry and respect for us, and let us know that he was praying for our ministry. And I could tell by the letter that he desired our fellowship into things of God, saying that we would not receive an accusation against you, Brother Pike. Said it'd have to be an establishment of it some way, because we know your ministry and we've never known anything to come out of it that was contrary as to anything that might hurt someone like that. And it was a wonderful letter. But anyway, this man gave forth his word. See, he gave forth a word. This we should be very careful of when we say something, when we give forth our word. We should be very careful. You ladies that talk a lot, I know for sure that you talk a lot and you're very negative a lot of times in your approach as to the things of God. And you discuss things that you do not know anything about. And in doing this, you place yourself in a very bad situation. Being negative in your thoughts, God doesn't like negative thinking. God is the all positive God, and he only speaks in a positive manner. So positive, the Bible said that the word of God cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It is the same to every generation. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we should be very careful that when we say, the Lord said, or thus saith the Lord, or this word is from God, we should be very careful as to go testify. You men likewise, when you go out into the world and you say things and you talk about things, you should be very careful. I have to say, the Lord told me, or the Lord showed me, or this is the way that it's going to be. Did you know that one of the problems today with the world as to sickness and all these other things happening is because that they have said, the Lord said? Did you know that years ago when people did not mess with the Word of God, that they did not have these sicknesses and these problems? They went on their way, they had a good time, they enjoyed their little families, they just farmed or worked, they made their living, they spent their money, they ate, they slept. They had health. They were happy. They just done things that was normal for people to do. So then later there comes a generation that's very religious. And everybody is a preacher. Everybody knows something about the Word of God. Or everybody's got a testimony. And though they don't live right, and though they don't study the Word, and though they do not go to God to get the understanding of the Word, yet they're very religious. And as far as they're concerned, they know all about it. They understand it. And they'll get up and prophesy, and they'll say all kinds of things. See, being religious, they're confident that it's going to be that way. And yet they're sick. Things are happening to them. People are dying, wrecks. There's problems. Because the Bible said, if any man add unto this word, then the plagues shall be added unto him. That's recorded in this book. And the Bible said in Deuteronomy that every plague that has not been numbered in this book, as to telling what it is, yet things that are to come will come upon you that testify and add to or take away from this word. And the Bible said, he that taketh away from the word of God, his part shall be taken out of the book of life. And men discuss this all the time, one with another. And so then many hundreds and millions of people are being cut off. That's why you have so many hippies, and that's why you have the gays, and that's why you have all the businessmen that's so shrewd and cunning and doing the things that they do. It's because they have added to the word, they've been religious, they've gone to church, they profess Christianity, they've joined the church, and because of this, God has literally cut off millions of people around the world. That's why these great problems happen, wars and all these other things. See, it is constantly happening because you've not left the Word of God to the ministry and to the true saints of God. And being zealous as to do something or have preeminence or to get in the spotlight, as we say, because religion is getting more beautiful in the sight of people. So then you get into religion and you want to be religious. And it's getting popular to be religious. No matter what you are, you can be a gay and still be in religion. So then it's not pure and undefiled religion, but it's still religion. And people are in all kinds of religions, in all kinds of moves and walks of society. People are in religion. They get religious. So this is the problem of today. Many hundreds and millions of people are smitten with diseases and all kinds of problems. Do you remember that it was back in the days of the Philistines that they took the ark away from Samuel and away from the Israelites? And from the time that they got the ark, did you know they didn't have anything but problems? Did you know that years ago when they left God to the real holy people, to the real righteous people, to the real godly people, and they didn't have all these denominational powers, all these religious things, they just left it to people that loved God, people that prayed, people that fasted, people that lived a holy life. Did you know that people were healthy? And that those people prayed the prayer of faith for those that got sick among the sinners and whatever, and they were still healed. But like it was in the days of the Philistines, once they got the ark, like the world today, they've taken this religious thing, they put it in college, they put it in all kinds of things, they've taken it to the tree of knowledge, and they've come up with a will worship, and they've got their own way of doing things. And they dispute, and they debate. And as it was in the days of the Philistines when they got that ark, all of a sudden, according to the Bible, these diseases begin to swallow them up. All kinds of diseases begin to come upon the Philistines because they did not know how to worship the ark. See, the Bible said, let him that takes the vessel of God be holy, and let him be clean. And even in the Old Testament, the singers had to be holy, and they had to be clean. And when you bear the ark of God, and when you bear the vessel of God, you're supposed to be holy, and you're supposed to be clean. You're not supposed to be contaminated with the things of the world and half in and half out. You're not supposed to be a charismatic sort of a person that professes the high standards of God and tries to receive all the benefits of the Lord and still don't want to live godly and don't want to deny self and don't want to come out from the world and be a separate people. You're not supposed to be mixed up with those things out there. See, you're supposed to want to come out from that and be a separate. The Bible said, and touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. And the Bible said, cleanse thyself from all the filth of the flesh and of the spirit. Not just the spirit. Someone would say, I'm born again. This thing is a spiritual thing. No one sees it. I believe, and that settles it, and I can do like I want to in my flesh and enjoy the things of the world because that's what God has given me. But that's where you're wrong. See, the Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. And it said, cleanse yourself from all the filth of the flesh as well as the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, and that we should serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life, the Bible says, having our fruits under holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. For the Bible said, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. For the Bible said, God is the spirit of holiness. And this is my dispute with the papacy of Rome. They call him his holiness, which is blasphemy. There's but one his holiness, that is God, the eternal spirit. So then we see a wonderful thing that's happening. Here God says to his prophet, he said, go tell them that I'm going to take them down into Babylon. And they're going to be there 70 years, and I'm going to subject them to the rule of Babylon. And the Babylonian people are going to rule over them, and for 70 years they're going to be there because they did not do the thing that I commanded them to do. But here comes Hananiah. And Hananiah is one of those prophets that comes along that preaches prosperity. Everything's prosperity. Everything's health. Everything's good for God's people. Everything's all right. God isn't going to chasten you. God isn't going to do anything. All you got to do is just look to the good side of life and have a good time and everything's going to be all right. So Hananiah, he comes contrary to the prophecy of God. And when he comes, he says, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah, he's not right. And God isn't going to put his people in Babylon. There's not going to be any Babylonian people rule over God's people. You know, good times and eat, drink, and be merry, for all of us belong to God. So Jeremiah, he just stood there, and Hananiah, he goes over and takes the things out of Jeremiah's hand and throws them down and tears them up or whatever, you know. And then Jeremiah, he just simply humbles his heart. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't get ugly. He doesn't say, hey, I'm the prophet and you're not. He just shied away and didn't say anything and went away with God. And this Hananiah, he was outstanding in the eyes of the people. And here he is, the big hero. He saved them from this wretched Jeremiah that appears to be. And he is God's champion. You know, it's going to be prosperity. Everything's going to be all right. So then he goes away and he's happy. But after a while, the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now this is what makes the difference. The word of the Lord. This is what makes the difference. The word of the Lord did not come to Hananiah. So then the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And God said, go back up, Jeremiah. And he told him, said, as to this that was of wood, he said, and that was broken, he said, I'll make it of iron. He said, and you go back and say, thus saith the Lord, it'll be just exactly the way God has said to the prophet Jeremiah. And not only that, but you say to Hananiah, because you've taken it on yourself to say the word of the Lord, when the word of the Lord is not spoken to you, he said, because you've done that, he said, you'll die. And he gave him the time of the death and told him, said, you'll die. Always remember this. The Bible said that prophet that prophesies presumptuously, that prophet shall die. And if you add to the word of the Lord, if you take away from the word of the Lord, God will add the plagues unto you, or God will take your part out of the book of life. He'll cut you off. So then when it comes to the word of the Lord, be sure that you're speaking of the word of the Lord. Be sure that what you said is the word of the Lord. Every man and woman is appointed to death. There's a time to die. After that, the judgment. And every one of you is going to die. Not in one here, but what you're going to die. Unless God comes back as to the translation of the change of the body that's spoken of in Thessalonians. And unless you do come to that place, you're going to die. Every person is going to die. They're going to taste death. And when I say death, not as to the Christians who cannot die, but go to sleep. They will go to sleep. As to you dying, as to medical science, you're dead. And so then every one of you is going to die. You're going to die. But folks, there's no need to shorten your days by your disobedience. There's no need of adding to the word of God and having the plagues kill you. There's no need of taking away from the word of God that at your death, that you'll find yourself going down into the deep pits of darkness and into the flames of the fire. There's no reason why that you should throw your soul away. The Bible asks the question as to the day of judgment, what will you be able to give in exchange for your soul? What can you offer to God that God would give your soul back to you once it's lost? The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, a real God prophet, somebody that prayed, somebody that stayed with God, somebody that studied the word, somebody that wasn't intermingled with the things of the world. They wasn't caught in the web of the world. But they walked with God and they talked with God, as it was the Bible said concerning Enoch. And Enoch talked with God. He walked with God for 300 years. He walked with God. And then he was not, because God took him. And you know the beautiful thing about this is the Bible said before his translation he had this testimony. And that is that he pleased God. The one thing that I've asked for in my life, I've said, Father, give me one thing in my life, and that is, let me please you. Let me please you. You know the secret of Jesus was, the Bible said he did always those things that pleased the Father. And the secret of Enoch was, the Bible says, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. So then the secret is to please God. The only way to please God is to honor God's word and to follow God's word and to do what God is telling you to do. The one thing that God cut Saul off for is the Bible said that Saul dishonored God in that Saul did not honor God's word. And when God sent Samuel, and Samuel went to Saul, and Samuel said, Saul, why did you not do the thing that God told you to do? And Saul said, I did everything that he told me to do. And Samuel said, well, what is this as to the lowering of the cattle that I hear? That is to say, didn't God tell you not to bring any of those cattle back? And here you brought this cattle back. Now, why did you do that? And Saul said, to give a great offering unto God. Samuel says, obedience is better than sacrifice. To hearken is better than the fat of the rams. You know, I've told you before, God didn't want him bringing those things back. He didn't want him to go into the gold and the silver and the cattle and the different things. Because if they had done that, it made God look like a robber. It made God look like he was going over here to overthrow a city or overthrow a nation just to rob them and bring those things back. And God did not care for those things.
The Bible said, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine, the cattle of 1,000 hills, they all belong to me. God didn't want to appear as the robber. He just wanted those people to know that he was tired of their foolishness and that he had sent the armies of God to destroy their cities, to tear them down, to let them know that he was not going to condone evil or condone wickedness. So then it displeased God. It upset God. You know, this is where we make our mistake. I've made that mistake many times in my life until I came to really understand God. We want to add something. We want to take away something. You know, we want to do something our way. I said the other day in preaching, I believe it was the last service that we had here, did you know that the average Christians, I say Christians because that's what we're called, said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Did you know the average religious person, I'll say it like that, does never ask God what they should do? The average person doesn't ask God what they should do. The person that professes Christianity will get up on Monday morning and they don't ask God what they should do. They're routinists. They've already got it laid out. They know that they're to go to work. They know to work that where they're going and what they're going to do. They've done it over and over and over. And if the devil wants to lay a trap for them, he knows the trail that they ride with the regularity. So following that, they always get into trouble. I made mention of somebody down in South America, I believe it was, not too long ago, that barely escaped with their life. They had been a routinist to go a certain way, to do a certain thing. Being in the ministry, they had a routine and they'd go with a regularity down that same trail. And somebody back on the home front had a dream that they was going to get killed if they went the same way. And warned them after all those times of going in the same direction. And that particular day, they went a different route. And their life was saved because Satan was laying for them to blow them up with some kind of mechanism there. Now I said that to say this. We need to hear the word of the Lord. I like the way that the prophets would speak. They come along and they say, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And the whole nation would literally shake and tremble. Because when they knew it was God, they knew something had to happen. See, if God spoke the world into existence by his word, if he upholds the universe by his word, if he sends his word to heal the people, if by his word he cast out the unclean spirits, if it's by his word that we have life and that abundantly, then we know that everything is by the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord is precious. The Bible speaks of a certain time of the Old Testament, and it said, and in that day the word of the Lord was precious, because they didn't have any word of the Lord. See, it was very precious. That's why we should be so grateful in the day we're living in. I hold the Bible up to you in my hand and I say, folks, here's the word of the Lord, which is great. And that is the word of the Lord because that's the printed page, which I've read many times. And it's the one book that I thank God for that it's still in existence. But see, that's not what God is speaking of. When he said the word of God, like when the ministry comes to you, when the preacher speaks to you, or God speaks to the membership of his body, then that is the word of the Lord coming straight out of the Spirit, coming straight out of heaven. That's thus saith the Lord. And the Bible said, and it shall not be him speaking, but it shall be the Spirit of God or the Heavenly Father speaking within him. The Bible said, in this day will be delivered up before judges and all kind of people. And it says in that hour that when we are delivered up, that we should beforehand take no thought what we should say, neither premeditate. The Bible said in the same hour it shall be given to us what we should speak. For it not be us speaking, but the Heavenly Father. As it was in the days of Stephen, and the Bible said that when they went to stone Stephen to death, they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. So then the word of the Lord is precious. If we have the word of the Lord at Bethlehem, or if we have the word of the Lord in America, if we have the word of the Lord in any different parts of the world, we should be ever so grateful. For as it was in that day, the word of the Lord was precious because there wasn't any prophets. There wasn't any voice that would bring the word of the Lord. They couldn't find the word of the Lord, and men run to and fro seeking a word from God. But here we are in the wonderful days of the Lord Jesus. And there's no famine for the word. Somebody says, Brother Pike, the Bible emphatically states that in the last days there'll be a famine for the word. Maybe it does. Maybe I've overlooked something, and maybe I've never seen that. But according to what I understand of the Bible, there is no such teachings as in the latter times being a famine for the word. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, the Bible said, and God shall pour out of his word or his spirit upon all flesh. Even your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men dream dreams and young men see visions. So then there's nothing said of the famine after the word of the Lord in the latter time. But it does say there will be a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. There's a great famine in the land today as to faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So then the preachers are preaching. There's TV, there's radio, there's the printed page, there's testimonies along the highway, along the sideways. See, there is the word of the Lord, but there is a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. See, he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Or he that hath the ear, let him hear the word of the Lord. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. As it was in the days of David, there came a stranger. And the stranger spoke to David, and David did the evil things that he did. There came someone as the prophet unto David and said to David, there was such a man that did evil, and David brought real harsh judgment upon him, being the king. And the prophet said, thou art the man, David. And he said, David, a stranger came by. And this is what we've got to watch. The Bible said, and a stranger came by. The Bible teaches that we hear the voice of God. And a stranger, which is a devil, a demon spirit, a stranger we will not follow. That which is strange to us, a voice which is strange to us, a spirit which is strange to us, we'll not follow that. And this prophet said, and the Lord said, a stranger came by, David. And this man heard, as it was another voice, not following God. Though the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart, David did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so then when a stranger came by, as to the spirit of lust that desired to take David's body and use David's body to his satisfaction as to the inspiration on this evil spirit that wandered through dry places seeking rest. When the stranger came by, and the Bible said, David, this man that did evil spared to take of his flock. Though David had many wives, and God said would have given you more, David, had it been that way. But you took another man's wife, you committed murder, and the stranger, you slew the lamb for the stranger, and fed the stranger, that is to the lust of the body, in the devil's feet off of lust. And you spared to take up your own flock, thou art the man, David. You are the one that listened to the voice of the stranger. Folks, it's very imperative to our salvation, to our life, to the things that God wants us to be and God wants us to do. It's very imperative to our salvation that we don't listen to strangers, that we don't listen to the voice of strangers, that when we speak a word that we know that it's from God, that we know that it's the word of God, we speak the word of God, and God will be with us, and faith will come from that word, and faith will be our shield. And the Bible said, taking the shield of faith, that we might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. So then Hananiah brought a word, but it wasn't from God. David got a word, but it wasn't from God. Many people have received a word, but it wasn't from God. Eve failed to listen to the word of God. And because she failed to listen to the word of God, death came. God said, thou shalt not eat thereof, Eve. And the day that thou would eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. But she ate of it anyway. And she lost life in the beautiful garden. See, and this is the problem, folks. We listen to a radio, we listen to a television, we listen to something that we read out of a newspaper, out of a magazine, we listen to something that we hear on the job, or somebody that we're in conversation with. We let them joke, we let them say things, and the Bible says that we just kind of hobnob around where angels fear to tread. And we speak evil of dignities when angels dare not say anything against them. And we take it to ourselves to laugh, to joke, when the Bible said the very thoughts of foolishness are foolish thoughts of sin. And that if we're in line for wisdom, we should never do those things. That we should be sober and we should be fully at ourselves, walking with the Lord all the days of our life, following in His footsteps. And that Jesus said, follow me wherever I am. There my disciples will be also. That is, the Word said, follow me. The Word said, follow me. Follow me. And even Paul said, follow me as I follow the Word. Or that is, as I follow Christ. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you. That is the Word mind, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. And the Bible said, if you have not Christ's Spirit, then you're none of His. But that is, if you have not the Word Spirit. For Christ, that is the Word Spirit. There's Jesus, the Word, that was made flesh. And then there's the Christ Spirit. That is, the Bible said, when the Holy Ghost comes back, then you'll receive the Holy Ghost, because He will come in witness of truth. Because Jesus said, I am set for the defense of the gospel or of truth. So then when the Spirit, He, the Spirit of truth, Christ, even the Holy Ghost, when that Spirit of the Word comes, then the Spirit will come on the inside of you, and the Spirit will witness of the truth. Because it is the Spirit of truth, it is the Spirit of God. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. But one Spirit, many operations. That is, as the gifts or whatever. So then we see this beautiful thing taking place. God needs a body. God is a Spirit. He is now the Christ Spirit. And that Christ Spirit is moving out of the body. And the body is sitting on the seat of atonement, a bloody mass. That's the returned as a blood-dipped vesture in Revelation 19. That's called the Word of God. But right now, it's sitting there at the atonement. And the Christ Spirit has come out of that tabernacle. And it's come down and entered into your tabernacle, if you will allow it to live in your tabernacle. Because that's the high priest Aaron. That is going into the tabernacle, going into the holies of holies, on the inside to officiate during the time that we're in this pilgrimage as life. So then that Christ Spirit is seeking a body. It is seeking a body. It has no body, in that the body is sitting on the seat of atonement. It has no body, no human form in this world, except you and I. And according to the membership of this body, and the whatever you will yield yourself to God is to conform to His ways, then that's what you are as a membership in that body, as bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. At the whatever measure, though we have opportunity to the full measure, and we have opportunity to the full reward. But God is in need of a body. He's wanting a body so that He can live in that body. And if He lives in that body, that means that God can say, thus saith the Lord. Or that means that Christ can bring forth the word of the Lord. For the Bible said the spirit of prophecy, that's what we're looking for. For that's the testimony of Christ. If I prophesy in God, that is Christ testifying from within my body. Well, the Bible speaks of David, numbers of things that David has said. I pointed out to you many times. You can read it back in the Word. It was the word of prophecy where Jesus told him, is it not written in the Scriptures that I've called ye gods? And you go back to where David was praying, and it just comes out in an utterance that you're gods, but ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge. And yet it was a prophetical utterance, which was the testimony of the Spirit of Christ. The Bible said the Holy Ghost being with them, signifying thus and thus in that time, though they did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life, yet the Spirit was with them and spoke of the wonderful coming of the Son of God and the great wonderful day of this expose as to the rent veil at Calvary, to make known to you and I the manifold wisdom of God. And the Bible said it now is made known to the church. Even the manifold wisdom of God, that which is the heavenly treasure, has come down from God, and now it is dwelling within these earthen vessels. Even that wonderful knowledge of the Word of the Lord. And so then I could go on and go on saying things, but I said I wasn't going to hold you very long this morning. But here it is, the word of the Lord coming to Jeremiah, the great prophet. Jeremiah called the weeping prophet. And here comes the word of the Lord to the prophet, the real genuine prophet that walked in love, walked with God, loved God, lived holy, and cried day and night for Israel. And here comes Hananiah, the one that fed the belly, that was on his belly, the old serpent, and that which was the beast that cared for the things of this world and began to pervert the word of the Lord, as it was in the days of Paul, Peter, when they said, as to these, thou art the child of the devil, and some of them were smitten blind for a season, and different things had happened to them. And Ananias and Sapphira killed because they lied to the Spirit of God. So then the seriousness of this thing is coming again, because it is accounted for as to what you know. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But if you don't know much, much is not required. But the Bible says, to that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not, shall be beaten with many stripes. And so then we are the servants that know to do the will of the Lord. To prophesy presumptuously that prophet shall die. So then let's be sure that it's the word of the Lord. That when our day of departure comes, we'll know that we've finished our course, that we've run our race, and that we've not drafted our lives, but that we have lived a full thing for God as to finishing our course. And then, as Paul said, when we do that, then we are ready to be offered. We're delighted to go, because as I've told the Lord a lot of times about my own life, I said, Lord, I don't want you to prolong my life. I do not desire long life. I have no need for long life. If I can do something for you, that's good and well, and I rejoice in it. As to a long life, I said, but if it be that I cannot do any more than what I've done, then I rejoice to go on to be with thee. For as Paul said, to be with Christ is far better. When you really know that there's a world over there, and you really believe that, and you understand that, and you've been acquainted with that, you don't mind going over there no more than you do to California. If you're going out there to see the beautiful things of California, you look forward to it. As Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. He said, it's more needful for me to stay here and tutor you, that you have somebody to lead you. Otherwise, he wanted to go to be with the Lord. And so then let it be that way with us, that we're ready to go whenever he calls. We delight in going when Jesus says go. But until that time, let us not pervert the word of the Lord. Let us not say the word of the Lord as to the Lord saith. God said, how be it when I've not spoken? Don't say the Lord saith when I've not spoken. You'll get in trouble. You may go on. You may not take my word for it. You may go right on and say, the Lord said. But I can promise you that you'll be in trouble. He said, someday I'll meet you face to face. I'll tear you to pieces as a bear that's robbed of her cubs. You think that I'm altogether such one as you are. But someday I'll meet you, and all of a sudden it'll dawn on you that God isn't like you at all. That he hasn't been going along with you all those years at all. That the Bible just says, the Lord says, because I'm long-suffering and I bear with you long, then you get the wrong idea. And that is that I am like you. But someday I'll show you that I'm in the defense of the truth. All right, here to bear witness of the truth. What is your mission in life, Brother Pike? To bear witness of the truth. What is your desire in life, Brother Pike? Is to do always the things that please the Father. That's what I want. Let's stand together. Let's sing a little chorus, if you will. Don't feel like we've held you too long this morning. You can get to your lunch and enjoy your lunch. And then tonight, Lord's being willing, I'd like for you to come back. Bring someone. Go out into the highways and into the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled, saith the Lord. So you tell them about little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, where the word of the Lord is taught, and where we believe in the word of the Lord, and where we have great respect for the word of the Lord. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches, because they're the famine for the hearing of the word, because the church is in the minority and very few have ears to hear. So there's a great famine for the hearing of the word of God. But let it not be so with us. Let us listen delightfully
to the word of the Lord, and let us grow in the grace and knowledge of the word of the Lord. And let us go boldly before the throne of God as to receiving our strength, our help in the time of need, because it is by him that we are holy and godly and pure and righteous. And the Bible said we are complete in him. And when he, our life, appears, we shall also appear to be like him. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing, I love him. I love him. Sing it with me. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing that with me? I love him. Do you really love him? I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. One more time. I love him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Through every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is, sing it again. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's give him a hand. If you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Though the road is long and the way is rough, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Together we can walk this way over to the mountaintop. And when we reach the mountaintop, you'll be so glad you tried. For together we can praise the Lord, shout down the other side. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Though the road is long and the way is rough, together we can stand. For I know just what you've been going through down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. Sing it with me. So if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Though the road is long and the way is rough, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, will you sing that with me one more time? You'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. The road is long and the way is rough, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Though the road is long and the way is rough, together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through, I've been down same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry that load. Let's give him a hand. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Let's sing this little chorus. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a soul, the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, that's enough for me. Sing it with me. For I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer when we call. For I know I am a child, the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. One more time. For I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer when we call. For I know I am a child, the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. One more time. We claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer when we call. For I know I am the child, the sun set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Claim Jesus first of all. Walk with me, Lord. Won't you walk with me? Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. All along this pilgrim journey, Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me.
Sing that with me.
You walk with Elijah. Come and walk with me. You walk with Elijah. Lord, walk with me. All along this pilgrim journey, come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. You walk with Moses. Lord, walk with me. You walk with Moses. Lord, walk with me. And all along this pilgrim journey, come and walk with me.
You want the Lord to walk with you? Sing it with me.
Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. All along this pilgrim journey.
Sing it one more time when you can.
Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. Come and walk with me, Lord. Come walk with me. All along this pilgrim journey, walk with me.
One more time.
You walk with Elijah. Come and walk with me. You walk with Elijah. Come and walk with me. All along this pilgrim journey, walk with me.
We'll sing it the last time.
Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. Come and walk with me, Lord. Come walk. All along this pilgrim journey, walk with me. Walk with me.
Can you give him one more hand? All right, let's lift our hands up together, close our eyes. Come and walk with me, Lord. Come and walk with me. May God walk with you throughout the day. I trust that I won't go anywhere today that He wouldn't go. And I trust that wherever I go, that He'll walk with me. Forgive me for being kind of tired this morning from being up so late over the morning, flying down to Florida and back. It's kind of a tiresome journey. Anyway, we tried to share a little bit with you as to what we feel. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, ask Brother Eugene to come and pray if you will. And while Gene's coming to pray with us, let's thank God that we've got a place called Little Bethlehem. Numbers of people are looking forward to the camp meeting. They keep speaking about it. And let's everybody pray to that end. And if you haven't done anything to help, let's help. Get in and do something for the gospel. Now's the time. God's giving you opportunity. After a while, all that you have, all that you are, all that you'll ever be will be gone. And you'll be without a Savior. And you'll be without reward. And all the opportunity you had, you will have squandered that as the prodigal son. And you won't have anything at all as to laying up treasures in heaven. Give your talent, give your youth, give your time, give your strength, give your ego, give your personality, give everything to God. And let Him walk on the inside of you. Give Him your body. And let it be Jesus living. How beautiful, how wonderful. And then in that day, you'll find that you've got His body. Because when you give your body to Him to walk in, His Spirit from within as to the nature changes your body into His glorious, wonderful body.
of eternal life and existence. So as Brother Gene comes to pray, remember that, and remember to pray for us. Don't forget the services tonight. We're glad to have you. We're so glad to have you. We're glad to have Joyce's mother here with us, Sister Foe. We're certainly glad to have her here with us this morning, coming up out of Macon. Also our sisters that come all the way from Crawford. We're so thankful to have them. They come a long ways to be with us with a regularity. And all of you that come, we love you and appreciate you from the bottom of our heart. Don't let it be said that this life has passed you by and that you didn't do anything for Christ.